Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Cassandra joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That's Get To by the Kasabwe Brothers. And a relatively recent East African record I've been liking a lot lately.
Where are you on your lists, Chris? Do you have to submit best movie lists, best other lists? This is the time of year when people come up with lists for the year. Where are you on your list assembling?
Film Critics Group I vote in. We vote on Friday. And then I'll do a year-end movie list piece in the Daily Memphian sometime after that, sometime before the end of the year. I don't really have an outlet or a reason to do music lists anymore. I used to vote in the Village Voice music poll and then, write about it. I don't really have that outlet anymore, but I did get a question in that regard for the Grizzlies mailbag. So I'll probably do that very short, briefly at the very end of the Grizzlies mailbag next week.
All right. Grizzlies have a 2-0 weekend. And you have to say, if the task was to hang around, it was to hang around until Zach Edey gets back. And I guess a lot of this, the good stuff has happened, has been since Zach Edey has returned. But here they are. You look at the standings, and they are ninth place and a game and a half behind Golden State in eighth. And what the hell? Maybe let's 2.5 behind Phoenix in seventh, and if you want to dream big, 4.5 behind Minnesota in sixth. What went right this weekend?
Defense. I mean, playing against bad teams, because that's what the Grizzlies
right.
do. The Grizzlies beat teams that had losing records consistently. So the schedule, part of this is Edey's return, and part of this is the schedule. I mean, they're still beating teams with losing records and losing teams with winning records, just like they were early in the season. And so part of this is the arc of the schedule, but Edey coming back has made a big difference, and their defense has just gotten so much better. I think their chemistry and sort of self-belief down the stretch of close games has gotten better in that execution. And then, different players step up at different times. Friday night against the Clippers was a great Cedric Howard game. I think more consistently, Jalen Wells and Cam Spencer have really stepped up big time along with Zach Edey.
What do you make of Cam Spencer? He is now double figures in eight straight games.
I wrote about this 2 weeks ago in my weekly column. He's really transformed his game over the course of this season. If you look at the first nine games of the season, he looked like the player I sort of thought he was coming into the season, coming out of college in his rookie year, which was a three-point specialist, like a great three-point shooter, but really just a three-point specialist. The percentage of shots he was taking were very heavily three-pointers. If you really drilled down and looked at watched the tape, his assists were very heavily just outside the three-point line, like kicking it around, whatever. He wasn't really crossing the three-point line on offense to do much of anything. And that has changed in a major way, like after those first nine games. Over the course of this season, his confidence has grown, and he's become a much more dynamic on-ball player. A guy, he doesn't really get to the rim, but a guy who gets into the lane, hits pull-ups, hits floaters, can run a pick and roll, can, drive and dish. he's really playing in a way that's really similar to what, like, you know, Ty Jerome did last year, honestly, in sort of the role that the Grizzlies envisioned for Jerome. And while Jerome has been injured, Cam Spencer has really grown into that role. And to me, him becoming a more dynamic on-ball player totally transforms him. We knew the three-point shooting was there, and we knew, like, his size athleticism would cause problems on defense. Everything else was going to shift him one way or the other, and it shifted him in a major way. Like, I'm someone, just as a basketball fan in general, I'm sort of lower on three-point specialists than a lot of people. And so, but he's not Troy Daniels. He's more Ty Jerome than Troy Daniels. And that is a major, major difference.
Well, and the 3-point thing is for this team also not insignificant. Like, it is not a great 3-point shooting team. And people.
Yeah, but that's all he could do is.
Right,
be
I get that. People, you know? People ask this question, which is, what's going to happen with Cam Spencer when everyone's healthy? And of course, the answer is no one's everyone is never always healthy. You never get everyone healthy. It seems unlikely. I don't know what, by the way, what are our current timelines on Ty Jerome and Scottie Pippen Jr.?
I mean, I don't remember exactly, but Jerome will be sometime in January, could be late January, and Pippen will be later than that. I mean, it might be March. I wouldn't count on Scottie Pippen in your plans. I mean, he'll play this season. He's supposed to, but it's not something for anyone to worry about. It's going to be a while. But with Jerome, it'll still be another month, maybe more.
And I think Spencer will probably remain in the rotation one way or another.
Oh, I'm not worried about what's going to happen a month from now. I'm worried about what's going to happen next week, because John Morant's going to be back. There's a new addition to the rotation who plays on the ball a little bit. I think Spencer's been so good in this role. I think he stays in this role. I think Vince Williams shifts to more of a wing kind of role. And I think Cam Spencer, I don't think Cam Spencer's role, I mean, he won't close games as much probably when John Morant's back. But his role is like the backup point guard. Like, I don't think, my guess is that it's not going to be Vince Williams is now the backup point guard. It's going to still be Cam Spencer in that role.
And you think, so Utah Friday, a reasonable chance we might see Ja then?
Well, I think it's presumed. I mean, he'd been upgraded to doubtful for Sunday's game, and the next game is almost a week later. So I think it's assumed he's going to play.
All right. As you point out, Coward was tremendous Friday, absolutely tremendous Friday. And then you had... yesterday, you had the bench. I mean, hell, you had a great KCP game. Jock was good. Cam was good again. Oh, and Santi. It is sort of, I don't know. Any of that strike you? Any of those performances particularly strike you?
Well, Caldwell Pope had a really rough shooting stretch in November, and it's really mid-November, and it's really picked it up the last several games. I think he's someone who... We talk about the trickle down of guys getting back, and again, Ja's going to be the first guy back, but that's a trickle down there. And so, you know, are you going to an 11-man rotation when Ja's back, or are you sticking to 10? If you're sticking to 10, who's out? Is it Cam Spencer? It's not going to be Cam Spencer. Is it Vince Williams? Is it John Conchar? Is it Kentavious Caldwell Pope? You know, John Conchar has sort of been the 10th man in the stretch, but I think they like him in that little role. I think there was a real case to just not play Kentavious Caldwell Pope a couple of weeks ago, and he's come back and he's been more productive. And I think he's been really good off the floor, it seems, as a veteran leader. And I think it's easier to have that impact when you're still playing a little bit.
He's quoted in a Parth story, I guess it was Parth wrote about him over the weekend, there he is. He's extolling the vibes. The vibes are great. It wasn't so long ago that the vibes were not great. And what do you make of where they are in the standings and the sort of overall outlook of the team now?
Well, I mean, they're sort of where most people thought they would be, even if the record is a little bit under that. It's only a quarter of the way into the season. There's a lot of season to go. And so in terms of where they're going to be competitively this season, and in terms of the way they want to shift or move the roster forward, I think the next couple months are going to be very meaningful on both of those fronts. There's the potential, if everything breaks right, and everything won't break right because that's not the way it works, but if it did, there's the potential for this team to look up and be a top six team. Like, to, as you're pointing out earlier, they're not that far away from there with a lot of basketball to go. And they have not had, you know, their preferred, what everyone seems to think is going to be their best starting lineup, they've had on the floor for 5 minutes. And so we'll see where it goes.
All right. In the midst of this, you got Jaren, 6-3 his last game, 13-3 his previous game, 7-6 his game before that, and 13-6 the game before that.
Yeah, the and you're using there is rebounds.
Yeah,
and I know that like he's a power forward, so that's what
I know. He also he had two blocks.
Important number, and it's that, but the reality is that it's not with him. That's the thing is like you got to change in terms of the construction of the team and what matters. That's actually not the number that matters for him. And I think
well, if you want to go with blocks, not that number. He had two, and then the previous four games zero.
Yeah, I would say stocks. Steals plus blocks. And what was meaningful to me in the Portland game is that he had five stocks, which is the most he'd had in more than a month. And that's really the thing I've been focused on with Jaren. I think that the scoring usage down is a real problem. And I think the fouls up is a real problem. But the third real problem that like nobody talks about is like this guy's a former defensive player of the year and he hasn't been impactful on defense. Like that's the most important thing. And so I thought it was good to see him be an impact defensive player, not just in those numbers, but just in other stuff too.
He had a massive block and a massive track down block. That was great.
Yeah, yeah, but he also had some contests that were really strong that didn't yield numbers. And so I think with Edie back, he needs to be a roving impact defensive player, and he hasn't really been consistently. And so I think there's all kinds of issues with Jaren's game being out of sorts. But, like, that's the one that doesn't get talked about. And to me, that is the most important one.
Are there any theories? I mean, what it is funny. Literally, I got a random – this is silly. I got a random request 2 weeks ago to go on someone's show to talk about Jaren's trade request. And I said, I can't talk about something. I've never seen that reported. I don't think that's a real thing. So – whatever else. Do we have any perception that something's going on with Jaren? Maybe this is in the total realm of speculation.
Well, I think that on the offensive end, I feel like the way the team is playing and flowing is sort of out of sync with his strengths. He's become at his best the last couple of years as an isolation scorer. Hey, give him the ball, spread the floor, let him go one-on-one, let him get downhill. That's where he thrived in that offense last season.
Right.
The way this team plays, this sort of just collective flow in terms of the way the ball moves, the way the minutes work, they don't really stop and, like, make a point of trying to get somebody involved. You know, it's not like the old Lionel Hollins, Dave Yeager teams where they would yell, turn four, and you go give the ball to Zeebo. They don't really call plays. And he is just getting lost, it seems to me, in the flow of the offense. And it may be that he's not a flow of the offense kind of guy. He's like, you know, you need to make a point to get him involved. I think that's part of the issue. But to me, that's why I want to see the defensive stuff. The offense, wherever, you know, it matters on the offensive end. I mean, you're paying the guy whatever you're paying him, not to be just another cog in the system. But to me, it has to start with him. The defensive stuff has to be there regardless. And that has not been there. And to me, that's what I'm most focused on with him.
See Desmond Bane threw a ball at another dude last night. See that clip?
Yeah, so that's the second one of those. That wasn't even called a foul or anything. But,
no.
That's the
crazy.
Second similar kind of thing that he's done this year.
Yeah, totally crazy. All right, let me do one more question from your mailbag from last week while I have you here. And that is, because we had talked about this, and you obviously don't, I'm not sure you have the, you probably don't have the stats in front of you, but someone asked you about Edie and Yao Ming, and we've talked about this before, but you, and people can go look at the mailbag for the exact numbers, but what did you discover when you were trying to compare Edie and Yao Ming?
Well, when you compared they both came in the league at the same age. So this second season is Edie's age 23 season. Yao's second season was also his age 23 season. And when you lined up, and then again, Edie's played 11 games. I wrote that 2 games ago. So the numbers shift a lot when the sample's this small. But when you line up their numbers side by side, and you, from a rate standpoint, you know, you adjust for pace and minutes and all that. So per 100 possessions and more rate-based advanced stats, like, they're very, very similar. The usage and scoring a little bit higher with Yao, the defensive impact rebounding a little bit higher with Edie, but they're kind of like surprisingly similar. So I joke like, well, this is ridiculous, but let's entertain it. And then you put it side by side, you're like, hey, wait a minute, this looks pretty similar. You know, we'll see that Yao number is over 82 games. The Edie number was over 9 at that point. And so, you know, it's interesting. He's not as skilled an offensive player. And so there's a limit to that comparison, but his total production and total impact has kind of been in that ballpark.
Thank you very much, Chris. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks.
Chris Herrington from the Daily Memphian. We're going to get to the playoff and the fight song roundup. Last fight song roundup of the year when we return. Before then, I will remind you, listen, if the billboard said, I'll buy your home for less than it's really worth, would you take that offer? No, of course not. If the texts and emails that you're besieged with say, I'll buy it for 70% of what you can otherwise sell it for, would you be interested? No, you would not. And that's the point. Most of these cash offers that you're getting just are not worth it. Josh Hysaw's is. Josh Hysaw and the team at Keller Williams Realty will give you the same convenience that comes with all those other offers, but for full market value. Still, sell your home as is. Still can sell your home regardless of condition. Still skip making the expensive repairs. Still skip the open houses. But you don't have to settle for less money. And he'll give you up to 4 months to move out. It's Josh Hysaw and the team at Keller Williams Realty. Check them out at joshhasthebuyers.com. Fight Song Roundup. When we return, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do the fight song roundup. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the fight song of the best football team in the land, the Indiana Hoosiers. The Indiana Hoosiers? Holy crap. Just unbelievable. Before Cignetti got there, three previous years were 2-10, 4-8, and 3-9. Since then, 23-2. And they beat Ohio State in an old-fashioned slobber knocker.
I mean, honestly, it looked like the Michigan-Ohio State game of last year.
Crazy. So we're going to get into all the disputes and the controversies and all of that. But, and listen, if you, I don't think there's any doubt the regular season is better than it ever has been. But if you want to say that game is not was what, you know, whatever, Ohio State's going to win the national title, it could win the national title. And then is it really going to make, is it really going to smart that they're not, that they didn't win the Big Ten title too much?
Certainly, no, but I
was certainly thrilled at Indiana.
I did also think that Saturday was important for everybody else because I thought there was a decent chance we could get into Saturday and realize there's one team that stands out above the rest. And I think we clearly saw that that's not the case.
Not the case.
There are ways to make them uncomfortable.
Just count on their kicker to.
But more importantly, there are other defenses that can replicate what
Indiana does.
Exactly. Like, Indiana's got very good players. I'm not, like, their linebackers are super fast. I thought their defensive front really got after it. They didn't let Ohio State run the football at all. Like, but to me, the biggest thing that Indiana did was they basically said, hey, we're going to take away over the top. You can't get the huge plays, and we're going to drop our linebackers super deep, so you're going to have to check it down and march the whole field against us. And Ohio State really wasn't able to do that. Indiana's not the only team out there that could do that to them.
All right, who's next? Georgia sure took care of business.
This was a bigger ass kicking, I felt like, than even the final score was, and even like the numbers.
And the numbers were pretty brutal.
Yeah, but it wasn't like the total offense was, you know, like they only finished with 297 yards.
Was it 3 rushing yards in the end?
Minus,
for a long time.
Minus three. That obviously includes sacks. So even if you went sack adjusted, Jeff, they finished with 20 rushing yards.
All right, and so this will get us into it. Good for Georgia taking care of that Alabama haunting or whatever you want to call it, jinx, whatever the hell it is, whatever, a bugaboo.
Certainly a mental hurdle.
Mental hurdle. Honestly, Georgia was better than Alabama's beginning after the first half of the first game.
Yeah.
Right, you know?
Yeah.
So, but what...
Really, maybe the first quarter.
This gets into this question of, should Alabama have made it? Should Miami have made it? Should Notre Dame have made it? In the end, the final rankings were Alabama 9, Miami 10, and Notre Dame 11. Miami gets in as an at-large, even though... The ACC, because the nightmare scenario came true, Duke did win the ACC title game. I guess we could have played the Duke fight song. And so James Madison will go as a higher ranked champion than Duke. But Miami gets in as an at-large. Alabama gets in. And Notre Dame misses out. Your thoughts?
So... I think if you were paying attention Saturday night to the people that were covering this, they kind of tipped the hand that this is where this was headed. And obviously, when they moved up Miami and basically you saw the only thing that was separating Miami and Notre Dame was BYU, and presuming that BYU was going to lose, which they certainly did, you were going to see the issue of they were able to keep them far enough apart to say the head-to-head didn't matter. But they were setting up a situation where they were going to be right next to each other and you were going to have to ignore a head-to-head result. And I did not think they were going to be able to do that.
I that's very clearly what they did. It is the stupidest thing ever that literally, listen, if one team is 9, let's say Notre Dame had been at 9 and Miami had been at 11, then we could ignore that Miami beat Notre Dame, but at 10 and 11, we can't? I mean, that's just...
I was not justifying...
No. Yeah. I'm not blaming you. It's the stupidest thing ever. Oh, it's only if they're literally right next...
They have to be in the same
pod. Snuggled up against each other that we pay attention to... No, if they're 9 and 11, we don't care at all that they played and the 11 team beat the 9. But if they're 9 and 10... Well, that's embarrassing. Then we have to take into then that has to be determinative. That's the just the dumbest logic ever. And so and
Hunter, I don't know if it is logic.
Hunter Yurecek said that. What he said was he literally said that BYU's performance, which dropped them, is why Miami is in and Notre Dame is out. BYU's performance, because it no longer provided a buffer or something. Is why. It's the dumbest thing ever.
But
crazy.
But Alabama's didn't?
No, what's interesting, too, is that you then have, and right now, of those three teams, who's the best? Just best. Who do you like best?
I mean, power ratings would tell you unquestionably Notre Dame's the best. I mean, I think right now, if you went through, and again, to be clear, Notre Dame was favored against Texas A&M, and Notre Dame was favored against Miami. They lost both games. But I believe right now, Notre Dame would be favored against everybody with the exception of Ohio State, probably not Indiana, and maybe that's about it.
I mean, in the end, the problem is that Alabama was exposed. It is interesting. You don't want the title game to quote unquote cost them, right? Like, oh, are we going to drop Alabama because they're in the title game? You're going to drop Alabama if you had because they played in the title game. They were exposed as a team. And then you look the week before they were giving them credit for beating Auburn. They barely beat Auburn the week before. Right, they have Alabama has.
Last month, they have not played their best football.
They have not played well, and so, and by the way, the notion that you can't drop someone because of a championship game in 2017, this is in the 4-team playoff. Auburn was number 2. Okay, 2017, Auburn number 2. They played a rematch with Georgia, and lost 28-7, the same damn score.
Yep.
Okay, they championship game, playing in a championship.
They also got their running back hurt that game.
And they dropped 5 spots.
Yep.
They dropped 5 spots. Alabama, watching at home, moves up from 5-4.
Yep.
And makes the play. The notion that you, quote unquote, can't punish someone is simply not true. In fact, if you go back, and this is according to The Athletic, to the first year of the college football playoffs in 2014, the 44 Power 5 teams that lost their championship games dropped an average of 2 spots in the final rankings. Now, mind you, they're not all dropping in or out of playoff right. contention, so you didn't pay any attention. But the notion that you don't drop after losing a championship game is just not borne out by history. Now, having said that, the problem with Notre Dame, well, there's a couple problems. One is their best win's USC.
Yep.
And you got Alabama, which can point to a win over Georgia, win over Vandy. Weirdly enough, Yurecek also said this. He gave Alabama credit for a win against Tennessee.
Yep.
Asked about Vanderbilt. Said, that win against Tennessee, Tennessee's no longer ranked.
Mm-hmm.
So the win against Tennessee helps Vanderbilt, but it didn't much. I mean, helps Alabama, but it didn't help Vanderbilt. Anyway, I don't actually have a massive problem with it because of Notre Dame's best win. Alabama has better wins. There's no question. Alabama has better wins. I don't think they're a better football team right now, though, if that's the measure.
No, and I mean, if you want to get a little tinfoil hat with me.
I think that's the other thing. It's 100% easier to leave out the everyone else. There's going to be a conference commissioner who's pissed off.
Correct.
And with Notre Dame, there's no conference commissioner that's
pissed off. And there's not a collection of schools.
Yeah.
It's one school.
It's one school is going to be mad, as opposed to everyone in the SEC
and probably the television
furious.
Partner.
Yeah. So I think that's 100% it too. Like easier, but that's Notre Dame chooses to do that.
Correct.
Notre Dame could join a conference tomorrow.
Anyone they wanted.
Literally any conference they wanted. So if it is held against them in these back rooms, they don't have as many people arguing for them in back rooms. There is a way for Notre Dame to fix this.
Yes.
And they chose not to.
Now, where I also think Notre Dame has a legitimate gripe is the fact that, hey, we're largely getting held responsible for the ACC's bad decision of coming up with a tiebreaker.
I mean, are they being held?
Because yes, if the ACC, if Miami
if
gets
Miami
in,
if Miami had won, then that wouldn't have been. Yeah,
correct.
That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. I think honestly, the other problem here is the TV show.
Yes,
the fact that we do this stupid TV show. Like, here's the thing: if we didn't have these weekly TV shows, and Alabama had been left out today, right?
Yeah.
We wouldn't necessarily say that Alabama had been punished because we wouldn't know where Alabama had been before.
Right.
And you certainly would not have to say, oh, my God, they flipped Miami and Notre Dame when neither was playing because you wouldn't know where they were to flip them.
Right.
It's literally only because the conferences want the TV money that comes with the TV show. ESPN wants the show.
Yep.
And they pay money to the conferences.
They're promoting their product that they spent a ton of money on.
And they spent a total ton of money on it. And so commissioners can talk about how ridiculous it is, but they're the ones who sign off on this system and who sign off on the TV show. The contract has the TV show in it.
Yeah.
And they all signed off on it.
Yeah.
As did Notre Dame, by the way.
And like in the end, they're the ones that came up with the five highest ranked conference champions.
And I fear what's going to happen is the people who are going to be paying the price, because I do think, listen, it's Tulane got busted by Ole Miss last time, and I don't like JMU's chances against Oregon, right?
You think?
And so we could have, theoretically, two one-sided games here. And
I mean, we have 220-plus point spreads.
And that's going to, and you're looking at, well, my God, we got these two teams in when we could have Notre Dame in? Like, what the hell? What are we thinking here? You know, we could have Notre Dame and Vanderbilt instead of these two teams. The problem is that it's not JMU's fault either. It's certainly not Tulane's fault. And so what may happen out of this is there may be further drive to not have the five conference champions, right? To not have the automatic qualifier, which then includes the G5. Because you have two, because of this weird accident, because the ACC effed up.
Yeah, or like some type of stipulation of once one non-power conference team is in, that satisfies the requirement.
Or highest-ranked champion, if they are ranked at least blank or something else.
It'll get lawyered.
They're going to keep, quote-unquote, fixing this,
yes.
And they're going to do it every year because someone's going to be mad every year.
I mean, in the end, we had, if you compare it to last year versus this year, last year, it felt like we didn't have enough teams to really fill out a quality 12-team playoff. This year, it felt like we had maybe 15 teams to fill out the 12-team playoff. And then we further complicated it by having the situation with the ACC having an undeserved champion because they didn't write their tiebreakers well enough. And now we've created this spot where two G6 teams are going to get in.
All right, who's next? Shout out to Ole Miss. Let's do the bracket here, Jeffrey.
All right.
Ole Miss is going to have a home game against Tulane. Do we have an early line on that?
We do, Jeff. Right now I'm seeing Ole Miss favored by 16.5.
They beat Tulane. They're going to have to go to Georgia. I mean, not
to
go
the
to
Sugar
Georgia.
Bowl
That's a Sugar
to
Bowl.
Play
yeah,
Georgia.
They're going to have
yes.
to play Georgia. Thoughts?
Overall, I mean, I think if you were an Ole Miss fan, you were probably rooting for Ohio State after Georgia beat Alabama so that maybe you could get Indiana in there. Although, I think Indiana
looks like no picnic.
Indiana, I think, proved that they are certainly deserving of the number one ranking. So this works out about as well as you can. You're going to be a three-score favorite in a home game with a chance to go play Georgia, a team that you had a 2-score lead in the fourth quarter against, you know, on the road, and you get to play them in the Sugar Bowl.
That was a game. It was interesting. That was a Kiffin game. Like Kiffin was brilliant in that game, play calling, you know, and it will be interesting to see how much they miss him. So here's the other first round games. You got James Madison against Oregon. That presumably will be a rout. You have Alabama and Oklahoma. Thoughts on that one? You think they're both deeply flawed teams.
I think they're both deeply flawed teams, but probably in other ways. I mean, for Alabama, I think the question is going to be, is Jam Miller back? Because you can just tell without Jam Miller, they cannot run the football. I do think it'll help that Alabama gets a little bit of time off to get their receivers a little bit more healthy. I mean, Alabama has not been playing good football for a month.
It actually, and then the winner there plays Indiana.
Correct. In the Rose Bowl. Too much
winner,
crimson
the winner
there.
Of James Madison, Oregon plays Texas Tech. You could very well. That'll be interesting. We'll get to that in a minute. The Oregon-Texas Tech game will be, I think, fascinating.
I'm not sure it's going to be a good watch.
No. Then you've got Tulane and Ole Miss with one of those playing Georgia. And then Miami and Texas A&M with one of those playing Ohio State. Your thoughts on that game?
I just really think, like, when you look at how this bracket sets up, it's obviously very manipulated by the fact that we have two G6s. But if you just look to, all right, get me to the Final Four, I think we got a really great potential Final Four. I don't care whether it's Oregon or Texas Tech. I think those are similar teams. They're going to be taking on Indiana. Ohio State, Georgia is going to be one that all of us can't wait to watch. Like, I'm pretty excited that I think there are five teams at least out there that I think could conceivably win a national title.
Right now, you'd say, yeah, it's going to be Ohio. You would presume, but again, who the hell knows in this season? As you point, even Ohio State now looks, they were beaten. Not
correct.
Just beatable, they were beaten. We presume it's going to be Ohio State and Georgia and Indiana against Ohio State and Georgia, and then Indiana against either Texas Tech or Oregon.
Yeah. And those are going to be great games.
Who's next? Well, you're certainly right about this.
Their defense is incredible.
So what do we think of Texas Tech?
So Texas Tech is a team that is fundamentally built with a defense, and they have a hellacious defensive front, and they play really solid, like, zone coverage behind them. So basically what they're saying is, we don't believe that you can drive it all the way down the field on us and beat us for four quarters. Now, at times, like we saw in the first drive of the game, BYU had a great drive put together, but it was like conducting surgery, and over the course of four quarters, they can't do it. My concern with Texas Tech, though, is if they get into a situation where you're going up against a team.
I mean, you're going up against Dante Moore, who's tremendous.
Correct. They're both teams are actually built kind of similarly. But Baron Morton is, like, A, he's banged up. He's playing with a broken leg. But I'm still just not, like, 1,000% sold on him. But they're I don't think that when we see them matched up against the other great teams, you're not going to sit there and go, physically, this team has no business being there.
All right, who's next?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Yeah, I feel bad for Vandy. But they don't really have an argument.
So, like, I feel bad for Vandy, but I felt bad for Vandy. Like, I didn't get into this weekend thinking it was possible.
No.
Like,
no,
that had already been done.
No, they were doing like, that whole, we're going to play another game, whatever. We 100% knew. There was some mystery heading into this weekend, but none of it involved Vandy. It's just, I don't mind 16 teams. And maybe you're right. Maybe it's because this year we have enough teams and other years we won't have enough teams. This year, and again, I don't like, so Vandy's not in, Texas obviously is not in. Like, you could easily have gotten to 16 teams even without two Power Five schools this year, right?
Yep.
Vandy, Texas, and Notre Dame.
Yep.
Boom, boom, boom.
Right.
There's three candidates. Who else would you put in? Who's the next?
I mean, there would have been people that would have told you, like, Utah.
BYU.
But, yeah.
You don't need to. You know what? After watching BYU get the hell beat out of them by Texas Tech twice, you don't need to see them in a
playoff. I'm pretty good there.
I'm pretty done there. That was fine. They're a good team, and they're not any threat, right? Yeah. All right, who are we going to blow up? Who's going to win the Heisman, by the way?
Felt like Mendoza's second half.
Mendoza now, but I think you can make an argument for Pavia. It's just he didn't do what Mendoza did.
Correct.
You know?
When Mendoza's second half, like, they put the game on his shoulders, and it's like, go make these throws. By the way, Becker, the young man, the receiver that was catching all the deep balls,
yep.
He played at Father Ryan, and the last time I saw him play, he had like 175 yards in a first quarter, and then he got banged up on his knee. It was nice to see him doing that to Ohio State. It's like, okay,
as opposed to
maybe
the
I don't
Owls,
feel bad that the Owls couldn't cover him. Yeah, right. Like the Ohio State can't cover him.
Who are we gonna blow up?
We just blew up UVA.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed the bomb. I was paying attention.
You want to blow up again one more time just for losing to Duke?
No, I was thinking, who else would we? You know, there were some very bad seasons here. Florida State's prominent. North Carolina, prominent, right? Florida, prominent. Who's the best coach? What's the most disastrous season where the coach survived? Is that Florida State? Wisconsin was. You would have said that, but then they rallied at the end. How about this? You know who had a really sneaky, awful season in the end? Nebraska.
They now, did the one carry.
Injury, you give them the,
and honestly, that's the other thing you can also say for Wisconsin. Maybe they didn't pick like the world's greatest quarterbacks, but Luke Fickell doesn't have his quarterback.
Right.
And got him hurt in like the second game.
God, the UCLA season was.
Yeah.
Something, the way that it, you know, it has been a wildly entertaining. And I'll even say this. I have my complaints with Ryan, but I thought the Memphis football season kept me entertained.
Until it didn't.
Until it did.
Yeah, like
until Tulane.
They got us to the Tulane game.
Yeah. And then we got a coaching search at the end.
Yeah.
Like,
I agree.
And now there is it'll be interesting to see Charles Huff again. That'll be Wednesday, we believe. The press conference will be for Charles Huff. Tonight we got a big game, Eagles Chargers. Jeffrey, thoughts?
Are we going to see a more improved Eagle offense?
Nick Sirianni, I guess, has rolled up his sleeves. He's going to be more involved.
Have they changed it up?
Are they gonna, do you think we're going to be getting close-ups of play calling?
I mean, it's going to be a story, right?
It is 100%.
And usually when it's the story,
but like
the cameras find them.
It's interesting. What the Eagles, there's like no threat now. There's, you know.
Well, like the other question with the Eagles is how much of it is like offensive organization versus like Lane Johnson's not playing.
Right.
Like we have a pretty good sample size. When Lane Johnson plays, they win like 80% of their games.
If you are doing some Christmas shopping, and let's be honest, I need to start.
I do. Plenty of time.
I need to start.
I'm seeing 17 days.
And that means I got to get to Robert Irwin Jewelers. I already have, I've been told what I, it was just sort of a fluke last year. I said, you know what? I'll go get Claire some diamond earrings. And now it's evidently permanently on the list. She loves them so much. It is the place to go, Robert Irwin Jewelers. They got 5 locations. Or you can check them out online at rijewelers.com. If you're thinking about getting engaged, first of all, congratulations. Second of all, do not slow down. Get yourself immediately to Robert Irwin Jewelers because, among other things, Robert Irwin Jewelers has the meant-to-be guarantee, which is the 365-day, no-questions-asked return policy on custom-designed rings. Gives you peace of mind when you are making that staggering purchase. But if you're just looking for something for Christmas or the holidays, just beautiful stuff there. They've got diamond necklaces, 10-carat lab-grown diamond tennis necklace, sparkling end-to-end. That's $39.99. They got tennis bracelets. That's one of the hottest gifts of the season. Stunning 3-carat lab-grown diamond tennis bracelet for $11.99. Limited time only. That one, by the way, free diamond stud earrings while supplies last. It's Robert Irwin Jewelers, 5 locations, online at rijewelers.com. Jeffrey, what is coming up next?
Jeff, here's what's coming up next. Jason and John, you're going to join the program with the guys. CJ Hurt will join Kevin Cerrito and I during hour number 2 of Jeffrey Wright and Company. David Cobb will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening. We got to get out of here. Back tomorrow for Now Work Is Done.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.